Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
Knowing God. Last week we began this series, and we're in this for the next couple of weeks. We're about knowing God. You know, we say things like, well, you know, Christianity is not about, how many ever said this? Christianity is not about religion, it's about a relationship. Anybody ever said some version of that? How many have ever said that and then kind of thought to yourself, what does that even mean? Have you ever thought that? What does that even mean to have a relationship with God? And I could ask every single one of you, and you might all give me a different answer. But we're going to talk about what it means to have a relationship with God. And we might know what it means kind of intrinsically. Maybe you've been in church and you kind of know what you're saying, even though you may not be able to define it very well. But when you say that to someone else, and they're like, you say, well, Christianity is not about a religion. It's about having a relationship with God. And they're like, well, what does that mean? And then you kind of are like that dude in the video. Let's understand what it is that we're saying, that we believe. Amen? So we're talking about how to know God. That's really what Christianity is. Christianity is about knowing God through the person of Jesus Christ. We have the ability, we have the privilege, we have the right as believers to know God. And we began this last week talking about how to know God through the Word, how to know God through the Bible. But I want to just hit real quickly on this thing that we mentioned last week. And I want you to listen to this. I want you to grab this. Listen, there is a huge difference between believing and knowing. Amen? I believe in the existence of LeBron James because I see him on TV and I watch his ability and I know that he has been to the finals, you know, every year for 37 years now. And I know that he, not that many, but a lot. I know that he's, you know, one of the arguably the greatest. I believe in his existence, but I don't know him personally. I've never talked to him. No, I don't have his cell phone number. I wish I did. I might say, hey, LeBron, can you spot me a couple mil? You know what I mean? But I don't know him. I don't know the man. But I believe in him because he's there. There's a big difference in believing in something and knowing something. There's a big difference in believing in someone and knowing someone. And Christianity doesn't just stop at belief in God. God wants us to go all the way and take the step of actually developing a relationship with him and knowing him. Amen? And so we're talking about knowing God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 11 is kind of the foundation of what we're in here. I just want to read it quickly to refresh us, and then we're going to dig into what we want to dig into today. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to know Christ. Everything is garbage relative to knowing Jesus. Paul said, I want to know Christ. He just said, I just want to believe in Jesus. He said, I want to know him. He said, I want to know him. Turn to your neighbor and say, we can know him. And so we looked at knowing Jesus in the Word. Now, why is this a big deal? Listen to me close. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul is writing again. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says that you and I, as believers, we have died in Christ and our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. There it is right there. You died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and I pray that everyone in this room has done that. And if you're in this place this morning and you haven't done that, you have not experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you can do that today. And you're going to have an opportunity to do that in just a few moments at the end of this time of me talking to you from the Bible. But my belief, my hope is that every one of us will walk out of this room having experienced that salvation moment with Jesus today. But Paul says this is what happened. When you got saved, put that back up there, please. When you got saved, Jesus took your life and hid it within himself. Who you are, your identity, your calling, your destiny, who God created you to be is hidden with Christ in God. So here's the catch for the believer. I cannot know who I am until I know who he is. I will never discover my own identity until I discover his identity. And we have a whole generation of believers and children and sons and daughters of God where we have stopped our Christian experience at simply belief in God. Simply, I raise my hand and I said a prayer and I'm on my way to heaven. The problem is now I've got to live the rest of my life trying to figure out who I am. And we got a whole bunch of, not just in the church, but outside, everyone trying to figure out who we are. Where's my identity? What do I identify as? And the reality is, for the believer, if you're trying to discover who you are without discovering who he is, you are at a loss. Because Jesus took my life and put it somewhere inside of himself. So I will never discover my own true identity until I discover him. And it's only as I get to know him and I get to, and he reveals himself to me and I get to know him and pursue him and build and develop a relationship with him, I begin to see who God has created me to be in the same time. Does that make sense? So this is key, guys, to knowing who you are. And your place in this world and what God has called you and created you to do. To know him. Everybody say knowing God. Knowing God. Last week we talked about knowing God through the Bible. And I gave you a real quick formula to begin to read the Bible. To have a little daily time in the Bible. Remember that? It was called SOAP. Everybody say SOAP. SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. If I want to begin to have a time with God and begin to know God, I need to have some Scripture. I need to read a little. Listen, you don't need to read a whole book. You can just read a few verses. You can just read a chapter. You can follow a plan through YouVersion.com or thebible.com and the YouVersion app. You know, I haven't mentioned this in a while, but how many of you guys have YouVersion, the Bible app on your phone? If you have it, raise your hand. I don't know if you know this or not, but, and this is a free app. It's one of the best Bible apps, probably the best Bible app out there. You can get free plans and everything else, but if there's a tab in your YouVersion app, it might be on the little hidden tab where you go to more or whatever. It's called Events. If you click on that tab, every Sunday morning you walk in or you pull out your phone, click on Events, I have my notes. You can follow along right with me, and you can keep your own notes right where we're going every Sunday morning. That's available for you every Sunday. You click Events. It'll ask you to search around you, and you'll find Red Life Church, and bam, you can pull that up and follow right along with us. So I haven't mentioned that in a while, so I want to let you know that tool is available for you, and you can write your own notes, save notes, whatever, and have that with you all the time. So anyway, you can go do a reading plan through YouVersion or whatever. Scripture. You got to have some Scripture. You read your Scripture, you make some observations, you underline something, highlight something, make a note about something, something jumps out at you. Then you apply it. How does what I just read and what the Lord helped me to observe, how does that apply to my life? How does what I just read change the way I think, change the way I feel, change what I do? What do I do now that I've observed this? And then we spend some time in prayer. And prayer is what we're going to talk about today, knowing Christ in prayer. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9, I had a long intro, but the message is going to be short today, okay? I promise you, all right? So here we go, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we're going to begin reading there. Pray like this, our Father in heaven. I'm reading out the New Living Translation, so it's going to sound different from the one we all memorized in Sunday school, okay? Pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Follow, I'm going to read here. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. How many know what that's called? What do we call that? The Lord's Prayer. That's right. The Lord's Prayer. And that's probably a little bit different. Some of the words are a little different from what we probably memorize if you memorize the New King James or the King James in Sunday school. But it's essentially the same thing. This is Jesus' answer when the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Let us pray real quick as we continue to dig in. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to enlighten and anoint this time we have together. Lord, empower us, God, to receive and to hear everything that you want us to receive and hear today. Lord, I pray that we would go deeper than just hearing some lesson or just hearing some stories or just getting some cute ideas. But Lord, I pray that we will have an encounter with you. And your Holy Spirit as we look at your word together today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. How many of you guys have memorized that prayer for a class or just were taught it sometime, maybe in a catechism or a Sunday school class or whatever? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, it's funny. I've said that prayer, I can't even know how many times, and quoted it and talked about it. A few years ago, I was trying to close a sermon and a service, a worship service, with that prayer. And I just, you ever just blank on something? I completely blank like midway through. And I felt so ridiculous and so stupid. And I just kind of said, I don't even know where I met. Like, I messed it up somewhere in the forgive us our debts. I got all confused and just said amen and walked out of the room. It was, everybody's kind of like, dude, this cat don't even know the Lord's Prayer, dang on. And I got some funny prayers. Prayers can be a funny. Here's some funny prayers. Maybe this one will help you. Maybe you guys are struggling. I don't know what to say on a prayer. Here's a few prayers to pray. Maybe if you're a little older, getting a little up in age, this might be a good prayer. Listen to this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my shape to keep. Please no wrinkles, please no bags, and please lift my backside before it sags. Please no age spots, please no gray, and as for my belly, please take it away. Please keep me healthy, please keep me young, and thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done. That's a useful prayer right there, amen? How about this one? How about this one? For the person who feels a little gypped, how about this? Thank you, Lord, for making me funny. You haven't given me much else to work with. Now, this one you might have to think about a little bit. You might have to think about this one, but just think about it. Listen to this one. This is obviously a Catholic prayer, because we don't really condone praying to the Virgin Mary, but that's fine. Here it goes. This makes me laugh. Oh, Blessed Virgin, you who have conceived without sin, teach us to sin without conceiving. You're like, what? Just think about it. You'll get it. What kind of prayer is that, man? Oh, goodness. Here's what I want you to understand about prayer today. If you don't get anything else out of this, get this. Prayer is not... I'm just so cracking Christmas. Prayer is not something that we... prayer is not just some words that we are to memorize and recite and quote-unquote, you know, pray our prayers. That's not prayer. Amen? Prayer is not, you know, to know God, when we're talking about knowing God and having a relationship with Jesus, guys, prayer is not just something that some quotes I read out of a book of prayers or whatever. That's not really what the Bible talks about when it talks about prayer. Listen, let me give you this definition of prayer. Listen to me close. Prayer is the vehicle by which an imperfect human soul connects with the perfect presence of God. That's prayer. Let me say it again. Prayer is the vehicle by which my imperfect human soul is able to connect with the presence of a perfect God. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. And prayer is one of the key ways that we know Jesus. Now listen to this. The Bible says also, especially in the Gospel of Luke, it highlights this a lot. Luke 6, verse 12 is an example where the Bible says that Jesus got alone and he prayed all night to God. Now listen to me, and you see those kind of inserts all throughout the gospel narratives where it says Jesus drew away to pray, Jesus went away to pray, Jesus prayed through the night, Jesus was spending time in prayer, and the disciples went and found him. And this is what I want to say about that. Listen to me. Guys, if Jesus prayed, you and I should pray. If Jesus had to spend time alone with God in prayer, how much more do you and me, and I just throw me in there, how much more does Justin Bradley need to spend time alone with God in prayer? Amen? If Jesus prayed, we should pray, okay? And so, let's talk about prayer, what prayer is, what prayer needs to be heard, to be understood, and to be the biblical idea of prayer, how we can spend time with God in prayer. There are really three types or categories of prayer that no matter what you're saying to God, your prayer is going to fall into one of these three categories. The first one is this. The first one is praise, thanksgiving, worship, all in one. Some sort of praise or worship. We just spent right now, when you come to church on Sunday morning, we were singing together. That was prayer. Offering worship to God, thanking God for who He is, praising God for what He's done, worshiping Him for who He is in our lives. That is prayer. That is us connecting with God. That is us spending time in His presence. That is prayer. Amen? Everybody say that's prayer. So, in fact, it's really the first step to prayer. Psalm chapter 100 in verse 4, if you can throw that on the screen. These next, like, five or six verses, I got a lot of verses. Just put them on the screen because I don't want to take time turning to them every single one. Psalm 104, do we have that one? Psalm 104, throw it up there for me, please. There we go. Enter his gates with mumbling and complaining and groaning. Is that what it says? Oh, no. Enter his gates, come into his presence, with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So when I'm thanking God, when I'm praising God, when I'm worshiping God, that is prayer. You may say, man, I'll try to spend time in prayer. And I just don't have nothing to say. I just run out of words to say. I pray for my family. I pray for myself. I pray for my job. Boy, I even pray for the cat and the dog. And I just don't have nothing left. And 2.5 minutes has gone by. And you know, what's the deal? You know what? When you can't think of anything to say, when you can't have words to pray, you know what? Spend some time just worshiping God, thanking God for who He is. Thank Him for what He's already given you. Thank Him for what He's doing in your life. Thank Him. Listen to this. Thank Him and praise Him in advance for the things that you're believing for. Worship. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Praise and worship grants me access and opens the door for me to get into the presence of God. So that's a type of prayer, praise, worship, thanksgiving, okay? That's a type of prayer. The second type of prayer, we're going to call petitions. Everybody say petitions, okay? Now, this isn't the type of petition where somebody goes and gets a bunch of signatures and writes them down. Petition simply means asking God for stuff. Asking God for stuff. You think, well, that's are we supposed to do that? Well, this is what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, this is not a suggestion. This is Paul giving the church a command. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, some translations say by prayer and supplication, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It is, leave that up there for a second. It is 100% biblical for you and I to present our needs before the Father in prayer. Amen? That is part of prayer. That is a type of prayer. Now for a lot of us, that might be, there are two sides of the fence here. Some people have this attitude all my whole prayer life is me spending time asking God for stuff. And that is a part of prayer, but guys, my entire time spent in prayer should probably not be just me asking God for a bunch of stuff. Do you enjoy spending time with people that just ask you for stuff all the time? Hey, man, can I borrow $20? Hey, man, can I borrow a loaf of bread? Hey, man, hey, can you give me a ride to the store later? Hey, can you do this? Can you do that? I mean, that wears on you after a while, right? Eventually, I'm going to probably not take that call. I'm going to block that number on my text message. You know what I mean? Okay? So when we're talking about getting to know God, listen, that should not just be a one-way street where we're just asking God for everything, and some people fall on that side. The other side of the coin is some people think that, you know, it is somehow unholy or unrighteous to ever ask God for anything for yourself. And it's this sort of, it's kind of really a false sense of selflessness or pride. But the Bible tells us, don't be anxious, don't worry about stuff. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, here's that again, present your request to God. Paul says, bring your request to God. Amen? 1 Peter says the same thing. It's not going to be here, but 1 Peter essentially says the same thing. He says, do not worry, bring everything to God because He cares for you. He cares for you. God cares about your needs. Jesus cares about your daily needs. So that's a type of prayer. Petitions. Asking God for my stuff. Asking God for things that I need Him to do in my life. Asking God to help me with the things that I've got to get done in my day. Asking God to bless the things that He's put before me. Amen? Type of prayer. So we got thanksgiving, we got petition. The third type of prayer is going to be intercession. Everyone say intercession. Intercession means this. It means to stand in between one thing and another. Okay? Intercession means to stand in between one thing and another. Intercession is where you begin to pray for other people's needs besides your own. Intercession is when you begin to pray for the needs of your community. Intercession is where you begin to pray for the needs of your nation and the needs of the world that we live in, the needs of our culture, the needs of your church. That is intercession, standing in the gap. Look at this, Exodus chapter 22, verse 30. Throw that up there for me, please. Exodus chapter 22, verse 30 says, this is God speaking to Moses, says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the Lamb so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. Listen, God is looking for some people who will spend some time in prayer who can literally stand in the gap between heaven and hell for our nation and for our world and for your family and for your home and for your friends. That is intercession, standing in the gap, standing in between. Amen? Intercession. Everybody say intercession. Intercession. Stand in the gap. Okay, three types of prayers. Prayer, praise, worship, petitions, asking God for stuff, intercession, asking God for stuff that doesn't even really affect me. Amen? And I will go as far to say on the intercession thing that I believe, guys, that that is one of the primary jobs of the church and of the believer, is to stand in the gap for a world that's lost without Jesus. Amen? That's why Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Did he think he meant just for us to come in here and pray for all of our own needs all the time? No, he needs a people to stand together in prayer for the communities that God's planted them in. When we come in here on the first Wednesday night of every month and we have prayer and worship, which we just had this past Wednesday, that's one of the primary functions of the church, is to stand in the gap and to pray. And let me just say this, guys. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I know we're busy. I know that. And I'm so thankful for the dozen or so that we usually have here on Wednesday night praying. But can I tell you something? There ought to be a lot more of us here on that night praying and seeking God. That's just the facts. Amen? Amen? I know you pray at home. I know you can pray on your own. I get that. But there's something about the power of agreement when we come together in prayer as a body of believers that I can't get on my own. And that's why it's important for us to come together and do that. Does that make sense? So we have intercession. Praise, petitions, intercession. Stand in the gap. Now, I could probably go on and on about the stuff we need to make prayers work. But let me just give you three things that I think are really essential if our prayers are going to work. Now, let me just say this before I get into this. If I'm not praying with the mindset that my prayer is going to work, I'm wasting my time. Amen? Let me say it again. If I am not spending time in prayer with the attitude that my prayer is going to actually do something, then I might as well just play video games or watch TV. If I'm just praying because the preacher said I should and I have no faith for anything to happen, if I'm just praying just to say words to make myself feel better, that's really not the kind of prayer we're talking about that's going to get us to know God. Amen? Okay? Let's talk about three things. Let's give you three things that's going to help prayer work. Okay? Number one, I got to pray with a pure heart. I got to pray with a pure heart. Fill that scripture there for me. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15:29. We left the T off there. It should say the Lord. It says he Lord. just imagine the T's there. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Whoa, wait a minute. Pastor, God loves everybody. God hears everybody. Yes, God audibly is able to hear everyone. But the only people that God has declared and covenanted to in his word to listen to the prayers of are the righteous. Well, you know what? I prayed one time and I wasn't serving God and God did it. Listen, God is God and he has the right and the prerogative in his grace and mercy to grant our request when we don't deserve it. Or when we don't have any biblical right to it. But biblically, the only people that God has said I'm gonna hear their prayers are the righteous. Okay? Now I know you before you get all twisted up about righteousness. Listen, when I say righteousness, Jesus has declared that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? Our righteousness is not of our own. It's not a righteousness that comes from how good or how bad I am. It's a righteousness that comes from accepting the perfection of Jesus that's been applied to my life. Amen? But I've got to pray with a pure heart. Now let me say this about purity. Purity does not mean perfection. Okay? Purity does not mean perfection. None of us are perfect. None of us pray the perfect prayers. None of us have all the time the perfect attitude or do the most perfect thing. But listen, purity is about a state of my heart. Amen? So I don't want you to hear I've got to pray pure and you think, well, man, I messed up a couple times this week, so God's not even going to hear my prayers. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying my heart needs to be in a pure place for it to be heard on high. Does that make sense? Purity is not perfection, but I need to pray with a pure heart. What does it mean to pray with a pure heart? It means I'm not praying out of selfish motives. It means I'm not spending time with God in prayer just so that I can somehow manipulate or twist his arm to bend his power to my will. That's not a pure heart. Prayer begins when I surrender, in fact, my heart, surrender my will and say, God, what do you want from this moment? God, what do you want me to pray? God, reveal yourself to me in whatever way you need to. Follow me so far? So I got to pray with a pure heart. The second thing I got to do is I got to pray in faith. Pray in faith. Look at James chapter 5, verse 15. Listen to this. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. So if I want my prayer to work, if I want my prayer to do something, then it's got to be done with the spirit of faith, which means doubt is the opposite of faith. So this is, let me tell you how sometimes you absolutely kill your prayer. And I've done this, I'm guilty of this, we've all done this. Is we pray for something, and it may be a little out there, and it may be a little bold, and we're not real sure about it. And we don't even know if we really believe necessarily God's going to do it. So to give us an out, we throw the, if it's your will clause on the end of our prayer, just in case it doesn't happen, then we can go back and say, well, I guess it wasn't his will. What I'm 90% of the time saying when I throw that on there is I'm saying, God, I really don't believe you're going to do this. So I'm just going to throw it all on you and throw it all at the mercy of your will, whether or not you'll actually move in my behalf. That's not praying in faith, friends. Faith knows in whom I have believed. That's what the Bible says. Faith is assured. What's Hebrews chapter 11 say about prayer? It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith has evidence of something that I can't even see yet, and it's in my spirit called faith. Amen? So when I'm praying in faith, I'm not praying, God, maybe you will, maybe you won't. I'm praying, God, I believe that this is what you want to do, and I'm believing you to do it in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray in faith. Let me tell you another thing that you mess up in prayer sometimes. Is I pray with an attitude thinking that God will see my need and he will move on my behalf. There is almost never one time in the Bible. I'm saying almost never because I don't think there's any, but maybe there's one time because God does some things on his own sometimes that we can't see. But as far as I know, I have not seen one time in Scripture where God ever moved solely based on someone's need. Because need does not move God. Faith does. The prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Hebrews chapter 11 says that it's faith that pleases God, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not those. It doesn't say those who have the greatest need. This is something that we mess up all the time, and then we sit here and we bang our head against the wall going, God, don't you see how much I'm hurting? Don't you see how much need I have? Of course God sees it. And I don't want you to understand and think, God, it's not that God is not moved with compassion by it, because he loves you. He is. But it's not faith, but it's not need alone that moves God into action on my behalf. It's faith. It's faith. The prayer offered in faith, we just saw in Scripture. prayer offered in faith. In faith. Faith. Let me just say this about how powerful faith is. Faith is so powerful that it will probably trump every other aspect in my life. What do you mean? Look at the life of Samson. Samson was not a pure dude. Samson jacked up everything about his life that he possibly could. Married the wrong woman, slept around, literally everything God said, Samson, don't do this or do this. Samson was like, yeah, I'm going to do something different. There's a lion in the middle of the road. God said, don't touch this lion. Samson said, oh, there's honey in there. I'm going to grab that right out of that lion. Sorry, God. Samson, marry somebody from your own nation. Hey, you know what? That Philistine chick over there, she looks pretty good. I'm going to get with that. No thanks, God. Samson, don't cut your hair. I was laying in the lap of Delilah one day, and she says, go ahead and cut my hair. It's no big deal. He did everything wrong. But you look at Samson's life, Samson had faith. I mean, time and time again, the Bible says one time Samson was thirsty, and he said, God, you want me to die of thirst out here? And boom, some water showed up for Samson. After he had just got done messing, that's what I'm trying to say is that's not an excuse to say, well, we can just do whatever we want and God will still take care of us. I'm trying to tell you that faith will move God's hand on your behalf. That's how powerful faith is in our lives. Amen? So I got to pray in faith. The third thing is, and this will help my faith, is I need to pray God's will. My prayer should be made up of what I already know God's will is, not me asking God if it is his will. Amen. Throw that up there for me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So when I pray God's will, he hears me. When he hears me, he moves on my behalf. And when I'm praying God's will, I'm probably praying in faith. So then we get back to the old age-old question, oh, Heavenly Fatherest, how doth I know thine will? We always get real spiritual and we sound more spiritual when we pray in King James, right? Heavenliest Father is God. Tell us thou, your humble servant, what is thy will to be? Can I tell you something? Let me give you a big secret, big secret. This book, the Bible, is full. Mine has like 1,000 pages. I don't know how many yours has. Mine has 999 pages. Yeah. Nope. Like 1,006 maybe. 1,006 pages of God's will. Your Bible might have, 800 to 1,200 depending on your print and how well you see. But he has already given you and me a whole lot of his will. And so that's why I say, listen. So, scripture, observation, application, prayer. You want to get to know God? You want to spend time with God? You read the word? You write down maybe some observations? Something jumps out to you? You see, man, this is what I should do with that. This is how that applies to my life today, this week, this month. This is what I'm going to work on. And then, guess what? In the prayer time of that soap, guess what? Just turn the word back into a prayer. Make that your prayer. And if you see where God moved in somebody's life, cross out that person's name, put your name there. Amen? There's a scripture we've quoted a lot in Zechariah chapter 4, around verse 6, that says, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. Anybody ever heard that one? Not by might, not by power. You know, at the very beginning that says, this is my word to Zerubbabel. That was the prophet speaking to Zerubbabel. That's a fun name to say, isn't it? Everybody say it one time, Zerubbabel. Doesn't that just feel funny to say? Zerubbabel was a priest who was rebuilding the temple in the Old Testament, and so God was speaking through Zechariah to encourage Zerubbabel. But you know what? And I think, I don't know if I've done it in this one yet because I've only had this Bible a couple of years, but in every Bible I've ever read, I've crossed Zerubbabel's name out and wrote Justin there. And I make that my prayer. This is God's word to Justin. Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. Pray yourself into the thing. Praying God's will. And then I know if I'm praying God's will, that builds my faith up that he's hearing me and that he's moving on my behalf. Amen? Okay? Now, what does this have to do with the Lord's Prayer? Jesus, when he gives us the Lord's Prayer, his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus said, pray this way. I want to give you a little clue here on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was never meant to be some words that we memorize and recite and say, say my mealtime prayers or my evening prayers or whatever. That's not what the Lord's Prayer was. Jesus didn't say, pray these words. He said, pray this way. See the difference there? He didn't say pray these words. He didn't say recite these words when you're praying. He said, but pray in this way. Jesus was giving us in the Lord's Prayer a formula for what God is looking for when I pray and how I get to know him through prayer. Watch this. In the three types of prayer, the three things in prayer requires, you'll see every single one of them right there in the Lord's Prayer. Watch this. He says, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's worship. That's worship and praise. Jesus said the first thing you ought to do when you pray is begin to worship God. Hallowed be thy name. Thank him for his name. You know, you could spend an hour just going through the names of God and thanking God and worshiping God for who he is. I mean, the Old Testament gives us several different names of God. One of them is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. One of them is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my comforter, the Lord my peace. One of them is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. I could talk about God's name and just worship God for about an hour on his name alone. Thank you that you're my healer. Thank you that you're my peace. Thank you that you're my provider. So he said, start with prayer. Start with worship. Pray this way. Hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done. So what's that? That's praying God's will. That's getting into God's will. That's saying, God, I'm not here to just pray what Justin wants. I'm here to tap into what you want. I'll tell you something. When I begin to determine in my heart that I'm going to get to know God, and I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus. You know what happens? Listen, Jesus will begin to share his heart with you. And you'll begin to pray things that you didn't even, you'll begin to pray wisdom and pray for things that seem so deep. You're like, where's that coming from? It's the heart of God sharing his heart with your heart. And I say, I'm going to pray your will. Okay? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Watch this, verse 10. On earth as it is in heaven. That's intercession. That's me saying, God, move in the earth, move in the people around me, move in the community around me, move in the nation that you've placed me in, move in the world around me, on earth as it is in heaven. Intercession, standing in the gap. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Intercession, okay? So this isn't just something to recite. It's giving us a formula of how we can get to know God in prayer and how we can spend time in prayer and make that time valuable and worthy. Listen, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread, or give us today the food that we need. That's our daily needs, our petition. God, don't just move in the earth around me. God, I need you to move in my life. Okay? Give us today our daily bread. That's not just food. That's whatever your needs are, bringing those things up to God. Petitions. Asking God for stuff I need. Amen? You follow me so far? Isn't that amazing? Watch this. Verse 12. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Okay? Now I could go into a whole thing about forgiveness right there, but what do we see there? I need to pray with a pure heart. God, if there's anything between you and me that's going to hinder my prayers, I need to get that taken care of. As I spend time in prayer, pray with a pure heart. Pray with a pure heart. Part of praying with a pure heart. Hang on, does somebody just hit this in here? Part of praying with a pure heart, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Part of praying with a pure heart is me letting go of the offenses I have against other people. Amen. Amen. Don't let us yield to temptation. That's, again, part of praying pure. Keep my life pure. Don't let me yield to temptation, but rescue me from the evil one. Keep me. That's, again, petition and purity, all right there together. God, don't let the temptation of the enemy get me off track of where you have me to be. And then verse 13, for yours, and I know that this is taken out of some translations, but it's in most of them, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's faith. That's faith. God, this all belongs to you. This is your kingdom. This is your glory. This is for your power. This world belongs to you. My life belongs to you. That friend has put my faith in God. So when Jesus says, pray this way, he's not saying, here, just recite this and regurgitate it and say that you've prayed. He's saying, use this as a formula to spend time with God and to get to know God in prayer. Amen? My encouragement for you this week is that you will take that home, open that up, type it out, write it out, whatever, put it in your Bible somewhere. Amen. When you go to have some time with God this week, and I'm believing that you will, and if you're not, I'm going to encourage you to, take one morning. Get up 15 minutes early this week. Just once. Try it out. Open your Bible up, read a little scripture, and then open this portion up and use that and take 5 or 10 minutes, worship God for a minute, and just go through that. And don't just say it. As you go through that, use that as you have to formulate your prayer life and see if God will speak to you. Amen? Now, two more things and I'm done. Two more really quick things I got to tell you. Number one, don't wait for a crisis to spend time with God in prayer. Amen? Don't wait till your world's falling apart before you ever open up your book and ever spend time with God in prayer. That's what we do so many times, when we just go about our life until all hell breaks loose, and then we get serious about God. Guys, he's faithful and he is merciful, and if that's what it takes for you to get to know Jesus, man, God will use that as a tool to get you closer to him. But you don't have to wait until all hell breaks and you're loose in your life for you to get to know God. In fact, I would encourage you to flip it around. Get to know God before hell breaks loose. And when hell breaks loose, you'll be standing strong as hell comes against you. I promise you. I remember one time I worked at this job. It was a midnight job. It was a third shift. And my car caught on fire in the parking lot at like 3 in the morning. Another person's car was parked in front of me. Her car ignited, had like a gas leak. And as her car burnt up, it burnt the whole front end of my car down. 3 in the morning, I just went back in, started going to work, and this person worked next to me in the cubicle next to me was like, man, how are you so calm? If that was me, I'd be freaking out right now. I didn't really have a good answer. All I could think is, God gave me that one, he'll give me another one. That's the truth. Okay? I'm not saying to sound cocky or arrogant or anything. I'm saying, man, when you know God, when you take time to know Jesus, when hell breaks loose, you won't flip out. I'm not saying you're not going to worry. I'm not saying you're not going to be fearful. I'm not saying you're not going to have emotional thoughts. Of course, that's natural. It's part of our human existence. But when I know God going into a battle, oh my goodness. David was able to look at Goliath and go, psh, 9 foot tall. So what? I know my God. You think David, look at that story, David and Goliath. David doesn't go, whoa, 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 hey, let me go pray about this for a little bit and see if this is what God wants me to do. No, friend. David already knew God. And so when the giant stood up and started mocking the armies of God, David said, psh, God's got this. He didn't have to go fast and pray. He was already fasted and prayed up. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so don't wait for prizes. The last thing I want to tell you is this. Jeremiah 33:3 says, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets. This is God speaking to his people, to you and me. And he says, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets. What am I trying to say? As you stand all over this place this morning, listen. As you stand, I want you to listen to this. I want you to grab this. In fact, this is the last little nugget I want to drop in your spirit. Everybody lean in. Let me just whisper this in your ear this morning. Lean in. Listen. God wants to be known by you. God wants to be known by you. He wants to tell you stuff. He wants to reveal his word to you. He wants to show his power and his glory to you. He wants to show himself to you. And I'm saying to you, to every person in this room, to every person he created on this planet, he wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. He is not hiding somewhere far off saying, well, if you jump through the right hoops, and if you just be good enough person, and if you clean yourself up right, and if you do all these great things, then I'll let you know me. No, he says, ask me right where you are. Ask me and I'll show you. Ask me and I'll tell you. Ask me and I'll reveal myself to you. See, I think sometimes we get this attitude and we get this mindset in our heads that that knowing Jesus is for a few select and elect people in the church. A preacher, he's got to know Jesus. The worship team, they got to know Jesus. You know, outside of that, I don't even know if that's really something. I don't even know. That's what they're there for, to tell me how to know. No, friend. No. I'm here to give you the tools to help you to know Jesus for yourself. Amen? He wants to know you. It doesn't matter how jacked up your life is right now, friend, he wants to know you. It doesn't matter if you come to church every Sunday or if this is your first time in church in 20 years. He wants to know you. And all he says is ask. Ask me and I'll tell you. Ask me and I'll show you. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced of this. That if I'm struggling to see God, or to hear God, or to know God, or to get an answer from God, guys, the problem is not with God. The problem is in my asking. And if I am asking, because James says, you have not because you ask not, but when you ask with the wrong motives. Then maybe there's something going on inside of me that I need to let God work on so that I can ask properly. Because he said, if you ask, I'll show you. I'll tell you. Amen? The problem is not with him. It's with us. It's with me. So I want to encourage us this morning with this truth, with this fact. You can know God. You do not have to wait for me or for any preacher or for any other person to tell you who God is or to tell you about their relationship with God. You can know him yourself. If I begin to ask. Will you close your eyes and all over this place this morning? The first step to knowing God is to accept his son Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it begins. That's where belief happens. And in just a second, I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because something happens when I respond publicly to what God does inwardly that just brings those two moments together. If you're in this place today, you don't know Jesus. You don't believe in him. You're not serving him. Maybe you used to serve him. Maybe you used to follow Christ. Maybe you used to be a believer, but now you've just kind of gone your own way, and you're just not really living for him anymore. You're just not really following that path anymore. Wherever you are, maybe you never have, but today there's something inside of you that's knocking on your heart. There's something inside of you. Your palms are sweaty. Your heart's beating. And man, let me tell you what that is. That is God talking to you. That is God knocking on the door of your heart saying, just ask me in this moment, and I'll become real to you, and I'll know you, and you'll begin to know me. So in this place today, you don't know Jesus, you want to begin a relationship with Jesus. You see, man, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I need to be forgiven. I've never experienced that before, or I did a long time ago, and it has went away. That's where you are right now. You just raise your hand right now, all of us. I want to pray with you real quick. We're going to pray together. Amen. If that's where you are. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up. Praise God. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your openness. Everyone in this room, pray together with me out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Everyone together. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins, be the Lord of my life, be the King of my heart, and help me to live for you every moment from this day forward. in Jesus' name. Make me a new creation right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Make that evident. Make that plain. Make that plainer than anything else, Lord, I pray in this moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask all of us now. If you're in this place, say, man, Pastor, I want to go beyond. I believe in Jesus. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm following him, but man, I don't feel like I know him and I want to. I feel like I've just kind of stopped at just believing in Christ, and I don't really, but I want to know him. I don't want to just believe in him to get to heaven. I want to know him every day. If that's where you are, we just raise your hand right now, all this room, right now. Say, I want to know him more. I want to know him more. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask our prayer team and leaders to come to the altar. The band's going to lead us out in a song in just a second. I'm going to pray, man, if you raised your hand either to receive Christ for the first time or to say, man, I want to know him more, I want to encourage you to come and just let us agree with you in prayer and just agree with whatever God's got in your heart. Or maybe you have a need in your life. You got surgery this week. You got a doctor's appointment. You want some agreement and prayer for healing on. Come and receive prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that in this house, in this home, in this place of faith, God, we will not stop short at just believing in you, God. We will not be satisfied until we know you deeply, intimately, in every area of our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now for every one of us that as we ask, God, I pray that you will show yourself to us in Jesus' name. God, let us be people of prayer that affects change in our homes, our families, our schools, our nation, and our world, and in Franklin County in Brookville, Indiana. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.